31. It isn't possible to teleport sullenly, but it is possible to teleport urgently. Martin and Ampix materialized outside Britt the Younger's door. Martin was perched on the balls of his feet, ready for anything. Instead of anything, he found nothing. Nothing out of the ordinary, anyway, and it seemed to confuse him for a moment. He swiveled his head around, making sure the coast was clear, then removed his hand from Ampix's shoulder and rang the doorbell. As they waited for Nick to answer, Martin kept looking from one end of the hall to the other.
Is something wrong? Ampix asked.
Yes, we're on to something.
And that's wrong?
Of course it is, Martin said. It's always when you feel like you're on to something that life knocks the wind out of you.
Nick opened the door.
Oh, hello again, Martin. Who's your friend?
Martin said,
Nick, this is Ampix, Ampix Nick. Is Gwen still here?
Nick smiled but shook his head.
No, the poor thing left a little after you did.
Where'd she go?
Home, I guess.
Nick turned his attention back to Ampix.
You don't talk much, do you?
Ampix said,
No.
Martin said,
Thanks, Nick. You rest. We'll go to Gwen's.
Nick said,
You should.
The three of them stood in silence. Then Nick asked,
You don't know where Gwen lives, do you?
No,
Martin admitted.
No, I don't.
Martin and Ampix materialized urgently outside Gwen's door. Unlike Britt's apartment and Martin's hotel room, Gwen lived in the Atlantean equivalent of a townhouse. Her front door faced the pedestrian thoroughfare. Atlanteans went on about their business, but the city's mood was decidedly less upbeat since the events of the morning. The worse the news, the faster it travels. Martin took a quick look at the facade of Gwen's home. Its Atlantis-standard white crystalline walls were interrupted by pleasant, rather conventional-looking windows. Martin could see the backsides of curtains and plants just inside. The place gave off an air of cheerfulness. He'd have wanted to go inside even if he hadn't known that Gwen was in there. Martin knocked on the door. He heard nothing. He knocked again, then yelled,
Gwen! It's me! We need to talk!
A few seconds later, the door swung open violently. Gwen looked at Martin. She seemed to be both angry and relieved. Martin didn't know if she was angry to feel relieved at seeing him or relieved to feel angry at seeing him.
Gwen, we need to talk. Can we come in?
Gwen seemed to notice Ampix for the first time, and his presence clearly confused her.
Sure,
she said, stepping aside. Martin went in the door, but Ampix hesitated. Martin turned around and said,
Come on in. You might as well watch us from up close for a change.
Ampix followed Martin into Gwen's home. From the outside, peeking in through the windows, Gwen's home had exuded happiness, and Martin could see why. What with the curtains, the flowers, and the decorative furnishings, the areas right next to the windows almost reeked of cheerful good taste. The rest of the house seemed to be storage space for rolls of fabric, dress dummies, work tables, and sewing machines. The whole back wall of the room was covered with racks of garments in various stages of completion. Martin spun around, taking it all in.
You still make clothes? He asked.
Yes,
Gwen answered.
Why?
Gwen said,
Because I enjoy making clothes.
Martin walked to one of the work tables and felt a piece of dark fabric that was pinned to a pattern.
Do you make things for the other sorceresses?
A few things, mostly for the Brits. To be honest, I mainly just make things for fun. What I really enjoy making is outerwear, and we don't get much call for it here.
She walked to a female dress form that was wearing a sleek, moto-inspired jacket that was made from the dark wool material of a longshoreman's coat. Martin looked at the coat and the other projects strewn around the space and said,
This is really cool, Gwen.
Gwen smiled, then glanced at Ampix. She turned back to Martin and said,
Why is he...
She stopped herself, realizing that she was being rude. She turned to Ampix and asked him,
Why...
She stopped again, then realized that she didn't know how to ask what she wanted to ask without it sounding a little rude, so she just went for it.
Why are you here?
She asked. Ampix said,
I don't know. He brought me.
Martin said,
I think better with Ampix around. He helped me figure out what to do next. Besides, the non-magic folk live in Atlantis too, so they should have a hand in preventing this.
Gwen asked,
Preventing what?
She
She looked at Ampix, who shrugged. Clearly, he was as lost as she was.
First things first, Gwen. When we were at Britt's place and she and Philip came back from the giant squid implosion, what did I say?
Ampix repeated,
Giant squid implosion?
He looked even more lost.
Gwen said, It's not what it sounds like. The squid didn't implode. Never mind that, Martin continued. What did I say?
About what?
Gwen asked.
I said that we should look at who had the most to gain from Britt and other Britt being out of the way.
Gwen nodded.
Yes, I remember, and we told you that wasn't helpful.
Because?
Martin asked.
Because you said that the person with the most to gain was Ida.
Because?
Because she's the president, and with the Brits gone, she'd be in charge.
She is in charge,
Martin pointed out.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves. You all told me that was a stupid idea.
And it is, Gwen said. Ida's not behind this.
How do you know?
Because Ida knows just as well as anyone that it's logically impossible for Britt the Younger to die, because Britt the Elder is here.
Martin and Ampix exchanged a look. Then Martin continued.
Your logic has two flaws. One is that it would appear that harm did come to Britt the Younger, and that it seems to have removed Britt the Elder. But that's not the main flaw. You couldn't have known that would happen back then. No, your reasoning has an even more fundamental error.
Gwen asked,
And what is that?
She did not like the way this was going.
Gwen,
Martin said,
It's not your fault. You and Britt, heck, even Philip agreed, and he didn't buy into the idea that Britt the Elder's existence made Britt the Younger invulnerable. You all fell prey to the same fallacy. Oh, Ida is smart, isn't she?
Yes, very.
And to even attempt to kill Britt the Younger would not just be immoral, but it would also be stupid, wouldn't it?
Yes, very.
Martin walked to Gwen and gently placed his hands on both of her shoulders.
Gwen,
he said,
smart people do stupid things.
Gwen looked at Martin, her expression a mixture of confusion and disgust. Martin smiled as if sharing a bit of good news.
Smart people do stupid things.
Gwen replied,
Smart people do stupid things?
Martin nodded slowly and said,
Smart people do stupid things.
Ampix muttered,
Like repeating themselves.
Martin said,
You said that already.
Then turned his attention back to Gwen.
Just because someone's smart, that doesn't mean that everything they do is going to be smart. Well, look at you.
What?
Gwen asked.
You're one of the smartest people I've ever known.
Go on.
But you refuse to admit that you're crazy about me. That's stupid. You want something, yet you're pushing it away. You're smart, but you're doing something stupid.
Gwen shook her head.
I never said I was crazy about you.
I know, that's my point.
Gwen looked like she might explode. Martin held up his hands and in a calming tone said,
Look, never mind that. Forget I said anything. I'm sorry. Now's not the time for that conversation anyway. But think about my point for a second. Really think about it. You have to admit, I'm right. Smart people do stupid things.
After a long, angry silence, Gwen said,
Yes, you're right.
Martin thrust a triumphant finger in the air and yelled,
Ah-ha! Ah-ha! Ah-ha!
He turned to Ampix, smiling broadly, and said,
Huh?
Ampix crossed his arms, nodded in deep satisfaction, looked at Gwen, and said, Mm-hmm.
Oh, what?
Gwen shouted.
What are you so happy about? I've convinced you,
Martin said.
That means that my argument was convincing. And the only example I gave to try to make my point was that you're into me. If that example convinced you, that means that you should shut up.
Gwen interrupted. Martin looked to Ampix, who nodded silently.
Okay,
Martin said.
We'll table that for now.
His words were contrite, but he sounded like he was on the verge of giggling.
We have to go and question Ida.
Gwen rolled her eyes.
Martin, we've been through this. She wouldn't have thought that killing Britt was possible.
Yes, yes. And as such, her even trying would be stupid, which I've demonstrated is not the same thing as impossible.
But that's not evidence. I'm not claiming it is. I'm just saying that we can't rule her out. And you have to admit, she is the person with the most to gain from the Brits being gone. You saw her after they vanished today. She's practically the whole government now. Even if you don't think she did it, talking to her is the logical starting point.
Gwen looked unconvinced.
Unless you have any better ideas,
Martin added, trying not to sound smug. After a long, smoldering silence, Gwen said,
It can't have been Ida anyway. She would have been caught by Brit's surveillance app.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. The app was looking for any known magic users, right?
Yes.
And since magic was used, but the app didn't catch anyone, that means it was an unknown magic user, right?
Yes, and Ida is well known. If it had been her...
Now Martin interrupted.
Yes, I know. Clearly, she didn't actually do the magic, but someone had to, and every legitimate magic user in the city would have shown up in the app, right?
Yeah,
Gwen said wearily.
Then, logically, it had to have been an illegitimate magic user. Someone who snuck into the city unannounced.
Gwen said,
Yes, in which case we can't...
Martin raised a finger and said,
Or, some magic user gave powers to a local!
They both had nearly forgotten that Ampix was still there, but now he reminded them.
Wait, you can do that?
Gwen said,
No, we can't.
Martin said,
That's not true. We can, and you know it. He turned to Ampix and said, I mean, obviously we can't. We're not supposed to. We'd be in big trouble if we did, and the other wizards found out. And even if they didn't, it would be tremendously dangerous. It'd probably end in horrible bloodshed. So, no, we can't give powers to non-magical folk.
Martin turned and looked Gwen in the eye.
But it is technically possible. You know better than anyone. The Camelot Shell Program gives powers to people who are wearing a certain kind of robe, a particular kind of hat, holding a staff or a wand.
Martin shook his staff to emphasize the point.
Give someone all that, have them recite the Konami code in Esperanto, then memorize a few key phrases, and they're in business.
Gwen shook her head.
Martin, Ida would never do that.
Why? Because it's stupid?
Martin, I grant you that smart people do dumb things, sometimes. But this is Ida. She doesn't go around doing dumb things all the time. She's not an idiot. We wouldn't have made her president if she were.
Martin slowly took a step toward Gwen. He put his hand on her shoulder, looked deeply into her eyes, and said,
Gwen, I don't deny that you're much smarter than I am. And have been around longer, and that you know Ida far better than I do.
That said, you just used the fact that she's an elected official as evidence that she wouldn't have done something stupid? Are you even listening to yourself?